In this episode of Man vs. Marriage, it's the Q-Dog giving you the business, baby. Not like you think, but it's the Q-Dog giving you the business. We'll be right back. Episode of Man vs. Marriage. It is I, your humble servant, the Q Diggity Dog, in the Moran Family Studio with me, just me. That's right. And I'm here. If you remember, Jeannie was having surgery, so today you get the Q Dog rolling solo. Be sure to go back and check out my episode with my daughter, Ashlyn. It was fantastic. But today we're going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you about getting in the game and what that means. And I want to start off this particular episode talking about some wisdom that a guy I follow, Ed Milet, some wisdom that he shares, and it rings true, but it's very near and dear to me. And that is, you are most capable of helping the person that you used to be. And that is what this particular podcast is centered around. And especially early on, it's the question. And this is the question I want you to ask yourself as you're listening right now. How good do you want to be in every facet of your life? When I started redefining my life, I really had to come to terms with, how good did I want to be? How good in each facet? And what was that like? As a man, as a husband, as a father, as a professional, as a friend, as an employee, even as a podcaster, I've got to answer those questions. You don't just ask that question once, but you ask it multiple times. So who did I used to be? That's what you might be asking yourself if you're new to the show. If not, you're aware of who I used to be, but I'm going to take a minute to tell our listeners right now. So, my name is Quincy Moran. I used to be over 380 pounds, have 8 children. I was someone that was over planned, which is something I continue to struggle with now. But I was out seeking validation outside of my home as my marriage was struggling. Look, my wife and I, funny enough, we were both told that we couldn't have children. And interestingly enough, we did. Not only we have a child, but we had, we started out with one, and then we had triplets, and then we had one more, and then we had twins. And then we had one more. One boy, 7 girls. And here I was at the point where, you know, my wife and I had one child. I mean, you're scraping. You're barely getting by. It's a part of that early place in marriage when you get married young, which I recommend. And then once I remember, you know, I was working at my current employer now, you know, making what I thought was good money until I had a child. And the minute that my wife and I had a bet, and we had bet, I said it wasn't twins. She said it was. I'm pretty sure that's how it went. She'll correct the record if I'm wrong. And so the lady that was doing the ultrasound, okay, said, well, it's not twins. And I'm like, well, I won. She said, it's triplets. And at that point, I got ghost white. I was holding Hunter. I had to put him down, and I really had to take a deep breath because I was like, man, we are just barely getting by with one child. What are we going to do with 4 instantly? And so I was a guy that liked to help everybody. I would plan my time to the minute. I didn't know it, but I was kind of seeking validation because I wasn't necessarily getting it in my marriage. And that's like early on. I thought that I had to be out there. I had to go make something of myself. I had to prove to my family, to my wife, that I could provide for the family. So I did so many different things. And as time went on, as our family grew, you know, I was out working. It was an honest place to be because my wife would be really frustrated, okay? She'd be really frustrated about a number of things that weren't happening. And all I heard was her saying, "You're not enough. You're not enough. The money you're bringing in is not enough." So I did radio. I did theater. I did a clothing line. I was coaching football, trying to become a pastor. All these things. Overplanning, extremely unhealthy. Really trying to do these things because I wanted to be home with my family as much as possible. But the actions were not lining up with the desires. So it came to it. Like football, we were coaching, I believe it was like 6 days a week. I had so many different irons in the fire with what was going on that it came to the point where my wife was in the living room and she was sitting there and saying, "Look, I need you at home. I need your help raising these children." And I almost said this because I'm very loyal. I want to follow through on the words that I say. When I give someone my commitment, and I almost said, "Hey, I gave this football team my commitment. I gave them my word, and I got to follow through. I committed to them." But thank God, before I did, I stopped and I said, "Well, number one, you committed to your wife and this family." And I mean, there was a time where I thought I could not live without being a football coach. I couldn't live without being a pastor. And it was in that moment that things kind of came together. It's like she's begging me to be home, to help, to support, to help raise my children. There's got to be something different going on here. And what I did learn by listening to coaches and to pastors, it seemed the common theme there was if I had to do it all over again, I'd spend more time with my family. And here I was getting ready to repeat those same mistakes, those same pains that I had from the past. And my wife and I went to this thing in our church called Living Life by Design. And that was the first taste I'd got of self-development. Like really understanding what lies are you living? What is holding you back? And how good do you want your life to be? That's kind of where that journey began. And then we went to a marriage conference at our church. And they have you rate your marriage. And I rated our marriage at a 7, and she rated our marriage at a 5. And it's obvious that we weren't speaking the same language. And so through the process, Jeannie started coaching with our then pastor, Coach Rita. And she was bringing her along. And it got to the point where it was like, okay, we can't go any further until you bring Quincy in here. And her first thought was, "He's not going to come here. He's not going to do this. He's not going to be interested in doing this." Now, why did we come to this point? Because after 10 years in our marriage, it was not what we signed up for. It was not what we had signed up for. We signed up for a great marriage, and we were just in survival mode. How did we get there? We got there because we had a child, then we had 3, then we had 1, then we had 2 more. We were preparing to have our last child. We had 3 children diagnosed with autism. We almost lost our house. We were in financial duress. We were eating out of a food bank at church. We found out as we were moving into, or as we had gotten into this particular home, that our children had been sexually abused by babysitters. We had a couple of our daughters that had repeated brain surgeries, they had seizures, and things were a firestorm. And we were in survival mode. And we found ourselves there going, man, are we just roommates? We're not really connecting sexually. It was hard for us to do because I was such a big guy. My wife is like 5'4" and like 125, 130 pounds. I'm 5'10" and some change. Always wanted to be 6 feet. But anyway, over 380 pounds. So many sleepless nights, so many bouts with autism, and, you know, from being physically assaulted from our children that cannot help it, to being emotionally assaulted, and just thing after thing after thing, life had begun living us. So no, we weren't connecting sexually, we were not connecting emotionally, we could get it in where we would fit it in. But other than that, I was out trying to work and Jeannie was at home trying to survive. And I had all these different things going on. Her take was, you don't want to be home. That's why you're finding things to do. My take was, one of these things is going to take off. So financially, we'll be set. And then I can come back home and I can be a part of my family. I wanted a family for as long as I could remember. I wanted to be a father. Wanted to have a wife. Wanted to grow a family. So it was at that point that we started coaching with Coach Rita. And over the better part of a decade, we started to intentionally learn how to love one another, what our needs were, communication tactics. And I came across this podcast when I was at the gym. Jay Ferrugia. Hope I get to meet that guy someday. I don't really listen to his podcast anymore. But thank God for this guy because he said, hey, I woke up. I was talking to somebody and he said, you know, gave him some kind of an example of a funeral experience. And it's like the people that are closest to you in your life, the ones you love the most, the ones that'll be around the bed when you're dying, if all goes well, from old age. When they're at your funeral, what do you want them to say? How do you want to be remembered? And you need to take those things, you need to write those things down, and then you need to come back to present day and figure out if you are pointed in that direction. Are you living a life in such a way where you are becoming those things you want people to talk about? Are you becoming that man? And I was not. What I was doing was all out of good intentions. But Jeannie and I had to discover where the wounds were. Where was the pain? Where was the resentment we were harboring against each other? Where was the resentment we were just harboring towards life because of all the things that had come crashing down on us? We didn't yet have the gift that Ed Milet would, you know, give to the world later. And I believe he got this from Jim Rohn or someone else, but it's like life is not happening to you. It's happening for you. And you have the opportunity. This is me saying now you have the opportunity to take these situations and to grow and to get better. And look, today, it was a struggle. I'm out of sync. My day did not start well, but I was intent on getting this show done today. We have not missed a show in over 5 years, and I don't want to just do a podcast to do a podcast and put one out. I want to do what's meaningful, and this is on my heart. I'm talking to men around the world, and they want to know how to get in the game, how to connect with their wife, how to be the man. How to be somebody that they themselves would respect as a man. And that's what we're here to do. That's what this podcast is about. That's what living a life, what I call living on purpose for a purpose. It's about being intentional with who you are and how you love the people in your life and how you go about your business. Can't really tell now. Maybe I'll post a picture on Facebook or whatever, but I'm not 382 pounds anymore. Thank God. Close to having 140 pounds off of this body for more than a decade. And I've met wonderful people along the path that have helped me get there. But none of this happens unless you make the decision to do it. And if you don't know how, this podcast is over 270 episodes of how to do it. But not only that, Jeannie and I take our experience and then we give it to you. We give you that experience because we want you to see that we're just regular people. Now, maybe our life is extraordinary because we have so many kids and we have so many situations going on. Our kids right now, we have a 22-year-old, we have three 21-year-olds, we have a 19 going on 20, we have two 18-year-olds, and we have a 16-year-old that'll be 17 in September. So it's not necessarily going to be exactly like you. But the thought behind what we do, the thought behind the decision that we made, the thought behind the progress we made in a decade was if we can make it, we believe that anybody can make it. It's just about what are you willing to do? And I told you earlier, Jeannie and I had plenty of resentments to release. We had to willingly forgive one another for the misunderstandings and the misconceptions that we had been going through for years. Because we had a particular idea about how this marriage was going to be. We had an idea about what we wanted to do. We had this vision in our head. And then life happened. So now, I would say now more than ever, at any time in our life, we have a more intimate and connected relationship. You know, we're on year 25 and we're having the best sex that we have ever had in our relationship, even in the brand new days. We're learning how to connect with each other more, what getting our needs met actually means, what endeavoring to meet one another's needs, what does that actually look like, and how do you do that? And then we're helping guys and marriages around the world. Some of y'all, just a few tweaks and then consistency with intention. That's going to dramatically change your relationship. Some of you, it's going to take time. And it's time well invested because you made a commitment. The both of you made a commitment the day that you got married. And your marriage is not, it's not like you're just, everything's going to be perfect. It's not going to be the storybook ending. You have to invest in one another. You have to invest in yourself. You have to invest in your relationship with intention. You've got to build the vision for what this family is becoming. You have to. It's very important. One of my daughters recently went through quite an experience. She left the house. She moved out. She ended up coming back. And now, you know, things were tough in our relationship. And so I'm trying to help guide and coach her along as she becomes an adult, as she grows and finds out things. You know, she's looking at things in from her perspective as a 19 or 20-year-old. That's the podcast I told you about. And she's really been struggling with some deep-seated wounds. And one of the lessons I teach the guys, you know, that Jeannie and I help, even, you know, the husbands and wives and my own children, is that we are going to get wounded in life. It's about healing. It's about allowing these wounds to heal and go from wounds to scars. And scars can be a sense of pride for something that you've actually come through, something that you have overcome, that your body has overcome. So it can be a sense of pride for where you are. But there is a process. You know the wound has to get to the point where it's scabbed over. And that can be painful. That can be difficult. But it's after the scabbing takes place that the wound finishes healing. And it's once the scab comes off that you have the scar. to show you that it is possible to overcome trauma and pain in life. And she was really struggling. The job that she had that she really loved, it was temporary because she was working for a company in another state. And once they opened their physical location, she knew her time was going to come to an end. She had something lined up here where we live. It didn't work out. She tried something else. It's not working out. Thank God she got connected with some young gals at church. And she was really going through a rough time. And I felt like God, you know, had put it on my heart to give her this message. And it ministered to me at the same time, which is great. And I don't put my faith out here a lot on this show, but sometimes it's necessary. So I'm going to ask you to listen to this because I believe it'll be applicable to you. And we can utilize this to help you grow, to help you dramatically change your life. Just talking to a guy today, it's been 1 year today since he had a really bad breakup. He had become complacent. He had become kind of apathetic about where his life was. He was comfortable. It wasn't moving in a particular direction. So he and his girlfriend split up. Somehow he found the show. He reached out to me. The goal was to try and save the relationship. It didn't work out. But thank God that he didn't stop there. And I just encouraged him and helped him continue to move forward. And this guy is making mega strides in his life. And it's hard because he's not necessarily going to see how big it is until he gets down the road and gets the opportunity to look back. Get the opportunity to look back and see how he has transformed as a man, as an individual. The example that he set for his son. He could have used that situation to be a victim. He could have used that situation as an excuse to climb further down in the cave, but he didn't. I'm sure the journey has not been perfect. None of it is. Not one of us have a journey that's perfect. Not everything always goes as planned. But the fact is that the amount of growth that he has made in his mind, what he's proven to himself is possible in a year, both mind and body, and subsequently his soul, his spirit, is absolutely fantastic. Lesser men would have quit, but he did not. He drew down in the savage part and said, "I've got to move forward." And thank God that somehow he came across our podcast and we connected. And he trusts me to speak into his life. Because I've been for 25 years, you know, going on 25 years, Jeannie and I have been through some very tumultuous times. And each and every one of you guys that I help, I used to be a version of you. Unhealthy mentally, unhealthy physically, unhealthy emotionally. And that's why I can help you now. That's why I can connect with you. That's why I can lend my experience and Jeannie can give her perspective, because we're helping you, the people that we used to be. And we're aware that if we don't continue to do this, we could regress and our relationship could erode and we could be back to survival and living as roommates. It doesn't take much. I'm here to tell you. So what's the advice I gave my daughter? What's the wisdom? What's the wisdom that God put in my heart? It's this. In the good times, we live in gratitude. In the challenging times, we learn in gratitude. I hope you take that. I hope you write it down. And I hope you put that in you and allow that to digest in you, because it's gratitude. No matter what you're facing in life, whether it's the good times or the challenging times, be in gratitude. When it's the good times, you're actually like reaping the benefit of the fruit that you've grown. In the challenging times, you understand that you can look back and see where you've come from. but also you understand that there is a lesson being learned, that it's building you into someone. The challenges you have today, the man 1 year, 5 years, and 10 years from now, that man needs you to make it through these situations. That man needs you to grow. That man needs you to exercise gratitude in knowing that this is for a higher call and a bigger purpose for you to grow. If you're a man of faith, then you know that, you know, God's not making these things happen, but as they happen, he can help turn them into good for you and your situation. So please take that, write it down, and understand. This is where we are in life. You are a product of your choices, both good and bad. The more you make good choices, the better the opportunity is going to be that things work out for you. You can make all the right choices and things can go to crap. It's just a part of life. But what can you learn? How can you get better? How can you adapt? How can you overcome? And how can you get into this role of leadership within your family and lead your family forward using your heart, using your logic, using your intensity, using your ability to protect your wife and your family? How can you build the people within your home so that they can go out and they can succeed? They can build resiliency. It's part of the four R's that I really wanted to build in myself. Be reliable, be resourceful, be resilient, be relentless. And I'm calling and charging you to be the same. So ask yourself that question before we get out of here. Ask yourself that question. Let's go back to the first part of this, the middle of this conversation where we talked about the funeral experience. The people you love the most, the people that are endearing to your heart. What would you want them to say about you as they talk about you on your funeral day? Is it that you were loyal? Is it that you were hardworking, that you loved people on purpose? Is it that they felt safe in your arms? Is it that you gave them wisdom? Is it that you led the family? Is it that you provided love and support when that was needed? How did you become famous in your family? Now, ask yourself, make a list. I mean, legitimately, you can pause this after I'm done talking. Make a list. Go through the exercise. What do I want my wife to say about me? I even went as far as to say, I want to love her so intentionally that when she thinks of me and I'm not around, maybe her heart might flutter because she is so well loved. My children, I want to build the connection with my children because that's the true legacy that we have. The example that we give to them as a mother and a father and as a married couple. And can they take that and make their own version and make a positive impact on society? Well, how do you do that? You decide the man that you want to be. You redefine him. You redefine your life. You decide what morals and what values you have. And you put it together to move it forward. And then you rely on people who challenge you, who give you perspective, that want good for you. Rely on people that have had the experience there. And that's where this podcast comes in. It's like, how can we help? How can we help you get back in the game? That's what we're here to do. And we love to do it. We love to do it. Look, Jeannie and I, through the process of our relationship, there's no shortage of material here. You need to know. As I close this thing out, Gene and I did an episode called Taking Inventory. Great episode. Very practical. Extremely helpful. very practical. And so what we came to is that we need to check in once a week. We need to find out based on, like, if you go through those episodes, there's taking inventory, and then there's understanding needs. There's like several episodes in a row, if I recall, or if I can get to it, I'll make sure to get it in the show notes. And what that does is it's like when we check in, hey, is there a situation that frustrated you this week? Is there anything going on? Is there any way, anything I can do to help? How are you? Help me locate you. And then what are you dreaming about? What are you excited about? How can we connect and how can we do this together so that we can overcome, so that we can grow our relationship, so we have our family in the right direction? 4 weeks straight, boom, did it. Each time we got together, each time we talked, each time we checked in, the conversation got better. The dreaming got better. Like, what do we want for our life? You know, you just feel so deeply connected. Then we went on vacation. We forgot to do our check-in, and things went awry after one time. So it's like you've planted the seeds. You're watering this thing. It's growing. If you don't water it on schedule, you're likely to parch the plant, and you're going to have to do some work to bring this thing back to the point of life where it was. So go check out those episodes. Some great episodes. Man, I got to get a new chair. A couple other great episodes is Who Decides When We Have Sex, number one, and show two. Great, great show. I'm interested to see if you and your wife sat in front of each other and said, okay, who decides when we have sex? Go. Be interested to see what you guys come up with, because Jeannie and I looked at each other and we both said, well, you do. So was it really a matter of initiation on my part or access from her part? Talk to me, guys. Quincy, Q-U-I-N-C-Y, at mvsmpodcast.com. Anything in here, if anything in here, you can say, I can relate to that. Anything in this episode. If you came here because of the name of the episode, Getting Back in the Game, then there's something that we are meant to do together, and there's something, some way, that we can help you. And that's what we want to do. How good do you want to be? How good do you want your marriage to be? You actually get to decide that. You and your wife. And it's not always pretty. It can be messy. But it's available. And I want you to tell us, how can we help? Because we're here for you. All right, that's it for this episode of Man Versus Marriage. The Q Dog running solo. Thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to rate the show, review it, and then email me, Quincy, Q-U-I-N-C-Y, at mvsmpodcast.com. Email me. How can I help? All right, everybody. That's it. And this is Man Versus Marriage, the podcast. In this episode of Man Versus Marriage, it's the Q Dog giving you the business, baby. Not like you think, but it's the Q Dog giving you the business. We'll be right back.